Father, we thank you again for this great chance to open up your word. We ask for your guidance upon all the hearers here today in Randolph County and thereabouts. We think of those in nursing homes. We think of those in their workplace, driving in their vehicles, wherever they be. We just pray that you would open up the word of God to them today. We pray for edification of the saints and for salvation of the lost. We ask for your guidance today in Christ's name. Amen. Titus chapter 1. We looked at an introduction and overview of the book yesterday, and just three chapters, only 46 verses, but yet a lot to study in the book of Titus. We only got through verse 1 yesterday. Let's just read the introduction once again. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Well, let's stop there at verse 1 again. Speaking of the truth, which is after godliness. We didn't have a chance yesterday to look at the word godliness, found first here in the Pauline epistles in these three little books considered the pastoral epistles. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Godliness. God-likeness. That which pleases him, according to the definition from Mr. Vine. God-likeness. Let's look at some passages, if you will, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Chapter 3 of Colossians says in verse 20 there, it's speaking of, in the context of different individuals. Here, speaking of children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. We're looking up the phrase well-pleasing in connection with what is godliness. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. There it says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. On to 1 John. Well, first let's look at Philippians while we're in the area. Philippians 4:18, back up to 17. Not because I desire gifts, Paul is speaking here, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account, that I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now on to 1 John. And we're going to look at chapter 3. Pick up at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And finally, Hebrews 13 and 21. Well, let's look at 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see here the things that are well-pleasing in his sight in the New Testament. When we think of godliness, we think of things that are well-pleasing in his sight. To be well-pleasing in the sight of God first, you must know Christ as your Savior. Think with me, as in Titus chapter 3, we'll look at this at another point, but let's compare it to Ephesians chapter 2 of how there's a great order here. To be well-pleasing in his sight, you first must be born again. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So notice there, we cannot do any kind of work to become a Christian. But in verse 10, the order follows. After we are saved by grace, the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not from good works, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we see that verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 tell us that we cannot work our way to heaven, but when we are saved, verse 10 tells us that it's been ordained of God that we should walk in good works as a believer. It's a similar passage in Titus 3. We'll look at that as we progress in our study here in Titus. We'll hold that for a later point. But back to godliness, that which pleases the Lord. We can only please the Lord when we are one of His children. We are not one of the children of God. We're not in the universal church or not in a local church in a real sense spiritually by going and joining a church per se. We must be born into the church, born again. Anyone can write their name on a card or raise their hand, say a few things, an oath or a creed, and say, well, I'm a quote-unquote member of the church. But to be a member of the church of the living God, you must be born into it, born again. That's what we see pleases God, that you are born again, born into the family of God by faith in Christ, having paid for your sins at the cross of Calvary. And once you're born again into the family of God, then we can be pleasing in His sight by the Spirit of God leading us and the Word of God directing us. Is the Word of God, Scripture says in Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, godliness, again, a book, a word rather, in the book of Titus, along with 1 and 2 Timothy, that's unique. Godliness, 9 times in these 3 little books. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. And pick up at chapter 2 and verse 2, looking for godliness. Here it's in context of prayers, praying for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So there we see in context of prayer that our lives may be lived in all godliness. Chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, verse 16. Here it speaks of the Lord Jesus, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And here we see a description of this one, the Savior. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, priest unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Sixfold description there of the mystery of godliness. It's wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Godliness. Move on to chapter 6, and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but darting about questions and stripes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth. Notice here, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And fourthly, in this passage, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So we see there, in the closing of 1 Timothy, 4 mentions of godliness. Let us not confuse what one would suppose is godliness and what the Word of God says is godliness. And if we go on over to 2 Timothy, we continue with our word study of godliness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So there we see godliness. The word godliness per se isn't there. But what do we see? We see the use and the profitableness of the Word of God. That is, it says in verse 17 that the man of God may be complete or perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We see the Word of God will bring forth godliness. And in 2 Timothy 3:5, here we see a comparison, rather, a negative, speaking of those in the last days having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So here is a form of godliness, whereas if you go down to the passage I already read in verse 16, that is what will bring true godliness, applying the Word of God, which is profitable. All right, now, what does the brother Peter have to say along the line of godliness? Turn with me to 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 3. Or rather, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So there it speaks of life and godliness. Peter also says in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, goes on to make this list here of things. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there our brother Peter has a little bit to say about godliness. So back into the book of Titus. We're still in verse 1, but as it mentioned, Paul speaking to Titus, and he says, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. That is what we'd like to begin this book study with, that this is a book of behavior. The sound doctrine in 1st and 2nd Timothy should show forth in sound behavior. As it says in verse 1, which is after godliness. Well, we've enjoyed the opportunity to open the Word with you again today. We just would ask if you'd like to contact us, write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsour if you have any comments or questions. If you'd like to call us, it's 824-5525. For Mark B.B., Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock.